Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In 1952, the Christian writer J.B. Phillips wrote a short book titled, Your God is Too Small. In that book, he challenged his readers to see God as much, much more than a smiling old grandfather or some type of a cosmic distant policeman. Too many people want to put God in a box that's safe and manageable, to be called upon in certain times of life, but not to get in the way of who we want to be and how we want to live. But he wants to be so much more in our lives than someone we call on when we have a need, who then is relegated to the shadows until we call on him again. See, God is so much bigger, so much larger than we can imagine. He is the Almighty, the Creator of all things. His ways are beyond our understanding. You know, we can use words like omnipotent and omniscient to speak those truths. But I think a song by the Christian band Addison Road a number of years ago called What Do I Know of Holy put it in a way that helps us see this bigger God that we worship. At the beginning of that song, the singers ask, What do I know of you who spoke me into motion? I like that picture. That God spoke us into motion. But not just us, everything that moves. From the motion of the electrons in a molecule to planets circling stars, from sweet wheat that's swaying in a field to hands that lift up praise to God, God spoke everything into motion. And considering this, the song also proclaims, I caught a glimpse of who you might be. The slightest hint of you brought me to my knees. God is the one of whom even the slightest hint should and will one day bring all of us to our knees. Our God is huge. And so praise for him needs to be huge as well. In fact, that psalm we heard earlier, Psalm 96, calls us to sing praises to the Maker of all things. Sing to him a new song. Sing to the Lord. Proclaim his salvation and glory day after day. And it isn't just us, but the psalmist calls all of creation to rejoice and be glad. The heavens, the earth, and the sea, the mountains, the fields, and the trees, all creation sing praises because the Lord reigns. He is ruler of all. And his salvation is for all creation. But how does a tree praise the Lord? Or a mountain? Or a rock? You see, maybe you're thinking too small when it comes to praise. Praise is more than just singing a few words during a worship service. Praise is also the being and doing just what God created a mountain, tree, bird, or us to do. Now think about this for a moment. You're driving west across Kansas. I don't know who'd want to go to Kansas, but you're driving west. That's a good thing. You're going west. Now Kansas looks flat, but appearances can be deceiving because as you drive, you're actually climbing toward Colorado. And then Denver comes into view. And behind that city, you see mountains. And the closer you get, the more you realize just how majestic those rocky mountains are. And then, when you finally drive through them, you begin to realize how high and huge they really are. Of course, we obviously don't need to go to Denver. Colorado can't hold a candle to the mountain scenery we see in the Sawtooths and the White Clouds. Or maybe you've stood on the rim of the Grand Canyon and looked down. Maybe you've walked along an ocean beach and stared out at the horizon. Maybe you've put your eye to a microscope and seen the intricacies of a cell. Now realize this. God sees all of this all the time from every possible point of view. The Christian philosopher Dallas Willard wrote that God is the most joyous being in the universe. He says that we get a little tank with a few tropical fish, and we enjoy looking at their beauty as they swim around, but God has oceans and seas of fish which he enjoys constantly. We may delight in the world all around us, but he experiences all that is good and beautiful and right. And Mr. Willard says, all of the good and beautiful things from which we occasionally drink tiny droplets of soul-exhilarating joy, God continuously experiences in all their breadth, depth, and richness. Creation praises God by being and doing what he created it to be and do. The sound of a three-year-old laughing as his grandpa chases him down the hallway. Or the young calf in the barnyard that's jumping and mooing in the springtime. Or baby goats. Who doesn't love baby goats? Those birds that are singing in the early morning hours outside an open bedroom window. The rustling of the leaves of corn in a field ripe for harvest. Bubbling water running down a mountainside after a summer rain, dog's heart beating faster with excitement as he fetches a stick in a park. All of these sights and sounds are music to God's ears and beautiful in his eyes. He is the most joyous being in the universe. But sadly, these sights and sounds are too often silenced and turned into something ugly. Drive down the road and you'll often see deer or elk or some other animal that's been hit by a car. Bodies broken, blood seeping onto the road. Almost every major city deals with the pollution that dirties the skies, contaminates God's water, and whole species of animals have become extinct, no more to be seen or heard in their created wonder. You know, in nature, many animals are forced to cower in fear and try to make no sounds at all. They don't dare to be seen or heard, or they'll be attacked and eaten. And fires rage through drought-stricken forests, and once majestic trees rage red in flames and then turn black and die. Hurricanes and tornadoes destroy wildlife and crops just as much as they destroy homes and cars. When we moved here, we had a dog, a lab named Scout. Now, he was getting on in years, but still able to enjoy life with us. And then one day on a walk, Scout stepped down off the curb and then sat down and wouldn't move. We took him to the vet and discovered that he'd slipped a disc in his back. And while his legs worked fine, he couldn't feel them, so he wouldn't walk. And after much agonizing, we had to put him down. Probably one of the hardest things we as a family have ever had to do. Our Scout's doggy smile and wagging tail were gone from our lives. Romans 8 puts all of this ugliness and silencing of God's creation into just a few words. Creation was subjected to futility because of sin, and the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly. How can Psalm 96 call us to praise the Lord when there's so much ugliness and groaning and silencing of his creation all around us? It can because of God's salvation. We can praise and sing because not only is God so big, not only is praise so big, but so is his salvation. Sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord. Proclaim his salvation and glory day after day. Just like God, we must never take his salvation too small. You see, it's not just about us ending up in heaven. It's not just seeing loved ones once again. It's not just being with Jesus for all eternity. And yes, those wonderful blessings are part of God's salvation. But his salvation is even bigger. In Romans 8, creation hopes for the day that it will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. All creation is waiting for the redemption of our bodies. And that redemption of all creation began when stones sang out in praise. We heard about that in our gospel reading. It's a week before Jesus will hang on the cross. And he and his disciples were approaching Jerusalem. Jesus told two of them to go into a small village that was just ahead, find a small donkey, one that had never been ridden before. He said that one would be tied up just as they entered the village. So the disciples went. And when they entered the village, the donkey was there, just like Jesus said. Donkey's owners saw them untie the little animal, asked them what they were doing. Jesus had told them to say, the Lord needs it. And when the owners heard that, they let the disciples take the donkey away. And then when they got back to Jesus, they put their cloaks on its back. Others even threw their coats on the road before the Lord. And people found palm branches and sang praises. Hosanna, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Shouts and cheers, praise and glory, all for Jesus. Hundreds of people leading him into Jerusalem. But we also heard that not everybody was pleased. The Pharisees, worried about this Jesus, demanding that he stop that procession, and Jesus answered, I tell you that if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. Well, it wasn't quite a week later that the Pharisees got their wish. They silenced Jesus. No more words came out of his mouth when he died on the cross and his body was placed in a tomb. And his followers hid, a lot like those little animals in the forest, quiet, alone, in an upper room, afraid for their lives. The praises had stopped. But then the stones cried out. It was Easter morning. Stone against stone. The stone in front of that tomb rolled back and scraping against the stone of the tomb, grinding together as that grave opened. Think about it. Some of the first sounds of Easter praise come from those stones on that first resurrection morning. Those stones sang praise the only way they could as Jesus rose from the dead and the hope of redemption was born. You see, the redemption of all creation begins with Jesus. What happened to his body, now alive and glorified, is the hope of not just you and me and all believers. It's a much bigger hope. It's the hope of all creation. All the earth and sea and heavens, all the trees and mountains and fields look forward to the salvation that Jesus will bring on the last day. All of creation waits in eager anticipation for the day when Jesus will return and the ugliness, the groaning, the silence will be replaced with the most joyous chorus of praise ever heard. We hear some of that praises, some of that praise oftentimes at Christmas. An incredible piece of musical praise is Handel's Messiah, especially this, the Hallelujah Chorus. That should have been about three times louder. Now imagine, as you listen to that music, that the birds are singing along with the sopranos. Or the cows are mooing the bass line. Elephants trumpet out in joyous adoration. And they sing, "The kingdom of this world is become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." And the fields wave in harmony to the music. The mountains have never stood more majestic. Deer run and leap without fear. A dog barks with joy as a young boy holds it, and the Lord smiles. Hallelujah, King of kings and Lord of lords, and he shall reign forever and ever. Hallelujah. Those rocks, like cymbals, repeat the sounding joy of the resurrected Savior who has returned as Lord of lords, King of kings, who will reign forever and ever. Now that's a ginormous salvation. That's our God who is bigger than we can imagine. And that's the sound of praise that we look forward to when Jesus returns. But it's also the sound of praise that we already sing. And yes, we sing those praises here in church. Maybe not quite as loud. But we also sing them each and every day as we join with his creation in being and doing what he created and redeemed us to be and to do. To share his love, his mercy, with all that we are. We proclaim the hope that's ours in Jesus, the one who came to us in a manger at Christmas in order to be put to death so that our sins might be forgiven, the one who comes to us even now in word and sacrament to create and sustain our faith, and the one who is coming one day, hopefully very soon, as judge and king, take us to our home in heaven. Amen.